lesson kind of came about as a result of a Bible class lesson on Sunday morning week ago when we're going through the book of Mark, and the subject came up in the class lesson or in the quarterly that we're using about the traditions of the Pharisees versus the Word of God when Jesus and the disciples walked through the cornfield on the Sabbath day and ate, and then also the illustration of Jesus healing a man on the Sabbath. And last Sunday evening, I just dealt kind of briefly with the topic of some people making, or what maybe perhaps making Christmas a holy day, which we do not want to do. So I thought it would be interesting to talk about one other area of subject along the same line, the principles of fellowship that are found in Romans chapter 14. What do we do when we have some disagreements over opinions? And that's a key phrase, too. It has to be an opinion, not a doctrinal issue. And in this section, Paul is going to address those that eat meat versus those who do not eat meat. And how are we going to get along? Also, he brings up the subject of days, of observing days again in this text. And then I just introduced in your notes in the introduction, because Paul addressing three chapters in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, the situation of some brethren would eat the, thought it was okay to, and they did eat the meat that was offered to idols, and others says, no, you can't do that. And if you were eating meat offered to idols, and someone said, oh, that's meat offered to idols, and then they would stop if it was offensive. So let's take a look at a couple things. You know, I don't know all of the issues that we have in our generation. I remember the story of a man named Zig Ziglar years and years, years ago. Very popular speaker in sales meetings. Someone asked him one time about smoking. And he was a religious man, so they said, will smoking keep you out of heaven? He said, I don't know, but I do know it'll get you there quicker. Oh, he wasn't going to bite on that one. Will it keep you in or out of heaven? There's a lot of things. I know when I went to Harding University, I learned that many were against what the phrase was, mixed bathing. And I wasn't too familiar with that. But I was born in Muskegon, Michigan, and right on the lake. And there was a channel that went into Muskegon Lake, and there were many lakes around us, and as a youth group, we always had beach parties in the summertime, and I never thought anything about boys and girls going to the beach together, but went to Harding, and they called it mixed bathing, and I thought, well, I'm not going to bathe with anybody. It's mixed swimming. But that was an issue, a real issue. I perform weddings and attend weddings, and another thing always comes up concerning the toast of the bride and groom, and with the champagne, and I always, before I toast with the champagne, I try to take a look around to see how many of my brethren are there before, because I don't want to offend. That one doesn't care for champagne, so I'll take the other bubbly. Sparkling something, cider, whatever it is. There's all kinds of things, but before you kind of cover an issue like that about the champagne, you better check the alcohol content on your cough syrup. If you're absolutely against alcohol beverage, you'll check some of your medicine. You know, I take a pill that warns me, it says right on the thing, it says may cause dizziness. So is that okay to take the pill then? It's going to make me dizzy. That's an issue. I take the pill. There's some other benefits. I'll take the pill. Then another issue comes up every... I saw this in the Christian Chronicle years ago. Some of the brethren among churches of Christ... In the Lord's Supper, they just use one cup. And so they had an article about a congregation that uses the one cup, and this particular author, Lynn McMillan, from Oklahoma City interviewed the preacher for this congregation that only used one cup in the communion. The man's name is Brett Hickey. So he preaches for a church that finds unity in one loaf and one cup. And then Lynn also added, the most recent volume in the directory Churches of Christ in the United States, published by 21st Century Christian, lists 553 one-cup congregations with a combined membership of 18,929. And then he also added, most do not have separate Bible classes also, if your congregation only uses one cup. And they partake of the Lord's Supper from undivided loaf of unleavened bread and one cup. Said in July 2015, Brother Hickey, Brother Hickey began working with the Denton County Church of Christ in Lewisville, Texas. And then they asked some questions. You know, they asked him to please explain the reason cup and some other. So I know now you want to know what the reasons are, don't you? Here are the reasons that it doesn't matter, does it?
Don't care.
But here are some of the reasons that he gave. We use only one cup in the Lord's Supper, and then there's a list of things. One, to preserve this divine ordinance just as it was delivered, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So Jesus took the cup. So they figured, one cup. There's no other explanation. He just gives you a bullet reasons. Second, because the scriptural precedent for how to observe the Lord's Supper with one cup, one loaf and one cup, is as weighty as for those who observe it on the first day of the week. The scriptures regarding how to partake of the Lord's Supper is even more emphatic than worshiping on the first day of the week. The other reason he mentions, because Jesus' instructions on how to divide or share the cup authorize only one cup. He quotes, drink from it, all of you. So he puts the emphasis on the cup. But it says, drink from it. And then it says, because the cup containing the fruit of the vine has no significance. Well, that's true. Jesus took the cup. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, but it's not the cup. It was the contents. So when he says, drink the cup, you can't drink a cup. You maybe take a bite out of it, and chew it, but you can't drink a cup. The message is the contents that Jesus said, this is representative or figurative or emblematic, symbolic of the blood that I'm going to shed this weekend. Then he says, to safeguard the sharing, the joint participation, the intimacy inherent in the word communion. So we drink from the same cup. That's an illustration that we have fellowship or communion. So he says, the next question was, people often ask about the health risk of using one cup. Said, what about that? He says, I won't read the whole thing, but he says, by faith, we obey the Lord regardless of the consequences. So our health is at risk. The one cup is important. He said, we do not consider health risk a relevant problem in obeying Jesus' command for the assembly to share a cup. The risk of disease transmission is very small, and probably much smaller than that of contracting infection by other methods in any gathering of people. Like handshake. I don't know. If we had one cup, there would be motivated to sit in the front row. So you'd be the first to partake of that one cup. Because I know, you had one cup, by the time you get to the third row, you're holding that cup up looking for where it hasn't been, where the lipstick or whatever it is hasn't been used. And plus, what if the person in the back row finds that there's more contents in the cup than when it first started? I'm drinking that. I'm just curious. So I just get an image of that, something like that. See, they also ask, are there other differences between individual and multi-cup churches of Christ? And he says, oh yeah, we find no biblical authority for segregated Bible classes. So no authority for that. In his opinion. He said, fathers, not the church, are responsible for bringing up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm not sure what he's going to do if there's not a father in the house. You know, there's some practical questions you'd want to follow up and address. Said, and here's the issue why I keep this article. Do one-cup congregations consider themselves to be in fellowship with other churches of Christ? Okay. Are they in fellowship with us? We do not consider them to be in fellowship with us. I would welcome them. This is just an issue of one cup. Everything else, this is church, this is us. Everything else is in line. Elders, deacons, first week worship, everything, plan of salvation, morality, caring for one another, looking out, everything is us. You know, our fellowship, except for the one cup and they don't have separate classes. I would welcome them. These are my brethren. So he says, can there be any unity among one cup and multi-cup churches? Okay, a little follow-up question. We cannot have true unity with congregations that use individual cups in their worship services. Wow. And he's drawn the line. I'll call him Brother Brett here, and I have fellowship over these things. We disagree on just the number of cups that are used in the communion. Can't we be brethren? And he draws the line and says, no, we can't. Interesting. So now Paul addresses some of these issues. Some people, you know, they take, it's biblical to me, they're saying, that point of view. So Paul addresses that. In 1 Corinthians chapter, I'm going to go to your notes now. In 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4, it says, therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, so there's the issue. Concerning the eating of things offered to idols, is that going to be a problem? We know, right there, first word, we know, here's the truth revealed, that an idol is nothing in the world. There's no other God but one, okay? Now, there's three chapters. I'm just going to read you through four verses. You have to read the three chapters to catch up everything. He also adds in verse 8, food does not commend us to God. Food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better. And if we do not eat, we're not the worse. Oh, but then he adds, how are we going to get along? Because one wants to eat the meat that's offered to idols and one does not. What are we going to do about that? So he says, but beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. So now we have to take into consideration the other without losing fellowship. The brother Hickey down in Texas, he doesn't want to fellowship me because we have multiple cups, but I would fellowship him. Even though I feel like I have this liberty to use multiple cups, Brother Hickey would say, no, you don't. You don't have that liberty. How are we going to get along? In chapter 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, Paul says, to the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. Now I do this for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker with you. Fellowship? Yeah. How are we going to get along? In chapter 10, verse 3, it says, all things are lawful for me. It's lawful. Lawful. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful. He says it again, says it twice. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So we just have to be careful about the issue that we're bringing up. So let no one seek his own. That goes on both sides. Some people think, oh, the strong have to do all the giving. Ooh, brother, you need to reread these three chapters and Romans 14. Let no one seek his own. The weak should not seek his own, and the strong should not seek his own. No, we don't come to battle over this. But each one the other's well-being. That's the text. So we know Christians are not immune from having disagreements, are we? Over issues. And because we're unique, there's going to be occasions when our opinions differ and clash. Just think about the temperature in the room. No, I'm not bringing that issue up. I'm sorry. I don't want to bring that issue up about the temperature. But our experience will tell us, even among the most congenial, there's a tendency for us to sometimes you'll rub the other person the wrong way. But nobody here. I'm talking about these other congregations. We're okay. You're okay. How should we respond to those who differ with us? And that's the subject of Romans chapter. I'm not going to get to it all. In being brotherly and maintaining fellowship when we find ourselves in disagreement. I'm going to read the chapter, but just to kind of see, so you can see where we're going with this. Look at that bold print. Number one, in verse 3, let not him that eat despise him that eats not. Okay? So even though we disagree, not to despise you. You're not supposed to despise me. Just because we differ over an issue. Yeah, we have an issue here. Number two, let not him which eateth not judge him that eats. So he takes it both ways. Let not the strong judge the weak, and the weak not supposed to judge the strong. That's the second main point in the text. Number three, let each man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Well, this brother Hickey is fully persuaded. In fact, he's so persuaded, he says, I can't have fellowship. He can't have fellowship with me. Number four, each one of us shall give him account of himself to God. Number five, judge this rather. No man put a stumbling block in his brother's way. Okay, so there's something that we are to do, and both of us, again, remember what's good for the strong is good for the weak in this. Number six, just walk charitably. Number seven, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Yeah. So in other words, even though Brother Hickey might have his point of view over there, you know, he's going to judge me that I'm out of fellowship, out of sync with him, out of sync with the Bible, but you know, I'm still fully persuaded in my mind. And so he may speak evil of my good, you know, I'm not going to return in kind like that. Number eight, follow after the things which make for peace and edify. Right. Number nine, for meat destroy not the work of God. How do we do that? We have an issue here. And then number 10, in summary, keep your disruptive opinions to yourself. If it's going to disrupt, you can have your faith. Brother Hickey, you can have your faith. I'll have mine. But can't we get along because we're brothers? We've both been baptized for the remission of sins. We enjoy friendship. Everything else. And you're going to destroy or disrupt over a cup. All right, so let's read the chapter, and I'm just going to close with reading the chapter. So sometimes as a teacher, you like to make sure you have all of the information first before we make our discussion, so you know where the direction we're going. And so when I make a comment, you say, oh, I remember reading that. It's not necessarily new or something you've never been familiar with. So I'll close with just a reading of Romans chapter 14. Receive. Oh, good starting word for the whole chapter. 23 verses. Receive. One who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. We have an issue. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. I'm putting your notes. And if God's received him, I'm not going to tell God you can't do that. If God's received him, we should too. I shouldn't comment. I just need to read the chapter. So verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Both sides of the argument. One here changes topics, introduces another topic in verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. But let each be fully convinced in his own mind. There's a principle. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not deserve it. He who eats to the Lord. No, that's that idea of the holiday message last Sunday evening. You know, you want to put out the decorations? Fine. If I don't put out the decorations, that's fine. Can't we just get along? He who eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. None of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Can't we just get along? For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you judge your brother? Why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's right, both of us. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. And then he says it again. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. So when I stand before God in judgment, I'm not going to say, he says, you know, Anderson, Brian K. Here I am. Did you know what Brother Hickey believes? I'm going to tell present myself. Myself. Verse 13. Therefore, let's not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself. So Paul is saying, hey, I know. I'm fully persuaded in my mind that it's okay to eat. But he brings this issue up in 23 verses. And in 1 Corinthians 3 chapters, 8, 9, and 10. Because it's an issue. But Paul says, hey, I know that I'm okay. He says, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. Yeah. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food for the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Now here we have an issue over food. But Paul is saying, wait a minute, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Why is that an issue? Especially if it's going to be disruptive, and that's what we're going to talk about. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Both of us need to be taught. That's the point. See, so we can resolve our issue. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Yeah. Therefore, let's pursue the things which make for peace. The things by which we may edify one another. Yeah. Don't destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for a man who eats with offense. In other words, until you have your point of view, don't violate your conscience. That's what he's going to say now. It's good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. We don't want to leave the weak untaught. And I want to cover some of these issues, these questions that come up. Because sometimes you think, wait a minute, Paul just said this, and now he says this. You don't always let the single negative voice affect everything else. Yeah. Do you have faith? Now, both of us have. The weak and the strong. He says right there. Do you have faith? Verse 22. If you have an issue different from me, an opinion, remember we're talking about opinions, not doctrine. Well, set that in your mind, or you'll really be messed up in this discussion. I'm talking about opinions, you know, issues. You have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Right. You can disagree with me on an opinion. You know, what color to paint the walls?
Yeah, leave that up to Jim.
That's a real issue. He who does not condemn himself in what he approves. So I approve this, but if I start making an issue and become disruptive and divisive, uh-oh. So I'm happy. I don't want to condemn myself in what I'm approving by being a stinker. I have another different word in mind. But he who doubts, if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. And whatever is not of faith is sin. So Brother Hickey, because he considers that one cup a matter of faith, it would be wrong for him to maybe worship with us with multiple cups. You know, he said, I can't violate my faith. He's made it a doctrinal matter. But still, for the sake of that, Brother Hickey, if you come worship with us, we'll give you a single cup. I can do that. I can make accommodations. Easy stuff for the sake of unity. That's going to be the lesson. So save your outline. You know, wow, it's already later than I've ever been. Don't let this. Keep your outline somewhere, and then we'll talk about. I'll go through these 10 points. I think that's the next. You know, I still have a lot of 10 points. We may go 3 weeks.
22 pages. You only got 2 weeks.
I have a lot to say on this subject. I really do. I guess this is something that just sticks to me. So it's a kind of a. It's an issue with me.
Yep, that's your opinion.
It's my opinion. This issue is my opinion. And you're going to hear it. So, well, maybe the next one can't be, because then we have our first Sunday of my father.
2 weeks in December.
Or is still two more Sunday after the night?
No.
Okay. So if you have an issue with this, I can recommend another congregation. Or just come listen. All right. I think always when we present a lesson, we extend an invitation to obey the gospel message. Here this evening, I'm a member of the New Testament Church. I've not been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. You know what the plan is. You've heard it. We've pleaded. We prayed. We've made our urgent plea. If you want the brethren to pray for something that while we're here, we can certainly honor that. So we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. So let's stand together. If you need to respond in a public way, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, please come while we're here.